Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news. But stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I've got several news stories that I will not be able to cover today because I have so much news, but I'm going to just a couple quick headlines, not a couple, a few. Let's see here. Barry Ho, that's your president and mine. He's set to attack a dictator in Syria in order to, well, facilitate the installation of his second Islamic government. He's going for his second, I think. His third? No, I'm not sure. Libya? Does Libya have a government? Oh, no, that's Detroit. I'm sorry, I think Libya might have been his second. Maybe this is his third. Although his original Islamist government there in Egypt was uninstalled. Yeah, they're rebooting over there in Egypt, to Barry's chagrin. But it looks like war in Syria is imminent, for whatever that's worth. I think it'll all be drones and cruise missiles, though. I have a feeling. What else do we have? A 72-year-old grandfather went on a killing spree in Florida and then killed himself. Just another day in paradise down in Florida. Several of America's gross national products, yes, products of the government schools, several of them have killed an Aussie college student for nothing more than something to do and to impress their friends, something to post on Facebook. That'll continue to develop. And I want to warn you people not to start stoking racial fires over all these black kids killing white guys. Because if we want to go down that road, well, we could go down that road all day. But I think what we should be really concerned about is teenagers killing people, period. That's all. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter if they're from Australia. It doesn't matter if they're a World War II vet. It doesn't matter if they're white, black, or yellow. What matters is teenagers, the gross national product here in America, is simply going insane. They are simply going insane. What else? Oh, at church this morning, our pastor covered the story of an 8-year-old child who finished a game of Grand Theft Auto and then shot his 90-year-old babysitter, who happened to be his own grandmother. So those are just some quick headlines. Before we go around the world for news, I just want to ground everyone in what's happening in America today as we go forward into this week. But we start the worldview, well, somewhere else out there in the world. We're going to start in Malaysia. A 50-year-old Malaysian husband set himself on fire in his Kuala Lumpur apartment when he found that his wife had been conducting an affair with her boss for 18 years. Yeah, the victim was rushed to the hospital, where at last report he was in critical condition, burns all over his body. His wife is being treated for burns to her legs. The man's son suspects that he was trying to kill himself. Just awful. What the last line in the story says, Human Rights Watch has criticized Kuala Lumpur for demonizing LGBT people. Oh, the wife's affair was a lesbian affair. I see. I just thought they were sticking another, you know, never miss a chance to promulgate the homosexual agenda. But it turns out the wife was having a lesbian affair. Yeah. Disgusting. I can't believe I opened the show with that. Yeah. Well, that's just because everything else I had was so depressing. I know. I try to start out with something uplifting, but I'm looking through the stories. Well, we don't get to an uplifting story until the fourth story. I apologize. But let's go to Houston. Houston police are trying to determine why a man fatally shot himself while in his wife's hospital room just hours after she gave birth to his child. Well, allegedly it's his child. Not sure how this happened. The DFW CBS station down there, Dallas-Fort Worth, they report that the hospital has a no-gun policy. Not sure how this story could have. The baby was not in the room during the incident. The baby's okay. Family members say that the man had recently been distraught. That's it, yeah. Just distraught. I'm distraught at least 3-4 times a day. I haven't shot anybody yet, nor set anyone on fire. I guess distraught these days can sometimes be an excuse to just kill somebody or yourself. I cannot relate to that in any way. Don't understand it. I think it really is the fact that suicide, well, has become a fashionable solution to problems for a certain type of person. For example, listen to this. Sports journalist Martin Manley killed himself last Thursday on his 60th birthday in front of a police station. He left a lengthy explanation on a website. Here's what this fella has to say. After he's killed himself, he leaves these messages on the web. He says, "When I consider the options of living to be old and all the negatives associated with that alternative, I knew there was no way on earth I was going to allow myself to deal with such an intolerable situation. In order to guarantee that I avoided it, I also knew that I had to commit the act before I was incapacitated and unable to carry it out. The thought of being in a nursing home, physically or mentally disabled, was the single scariest thing I had ever thought about, at least on this earth." And then he kills himself in front of a police station. What else did he have on his website? "I appreciate being able to follow my passion regarding statistics, more specifically, sports statistics." Well, at least he left a legacy, right? He'll go down in the annals of history as one of the great sports statisticians of all time. Anyway, this is all over the news, what this fella did. He documented his own suicide on his website. And nowhere in this article from the Kansas City Star do they condemn the fact that he killed himself. In fact, I think they find it fairly entertaining. And that's just disturbing. A sports statistician. You know, if I had to sit and listen to a sports statistician, I might consider suicide. But I wouldn't do it because, I believe the Bible, that God will not allow me to get into a situation that I can't handle. And if I can't handle it, he'll come and take me out. Or he'll give me a way out. Even if that way is a slow, painful death in a nursing home. Which, by the way, I want to let my extremely attractive audio engineer know that if I become sick or disabled or incapacitated, please don't kill me. Put me in a home. I'll take a home over being killed for being a burden on society. All right. Now, speaking of suicide, let's go to Europe, where there is a slow-motion suicide in progress every day since that British king abdicated the throne back in the 50s. I think it's been a slow-motion suicide for all of Europe ever since then. But we go to the Weekly Standard, and they report that raising fertility levels in Germany has not proved easy. Critics say the country. I got to get my mouth screwed on straight. I don't know what's going on. Having a hard time just reading the news. I'm just looking at the paper reading, and I'm having a problem here. Critics say the country, that's Germany, has accomplished very little with their system of benefits and tax allowances for children and stay-at-home moms, and their tax break for married couples apparently hasn't done the trick. Demographers say that a far better investment would be to support women juggling motherhood and careers by expanding daycare and after-school programs. So that, I don't know who these demographers are. Maybe, I don't know if it's the Weekly Standard who thinks this, but typical of the news media in general to always offer government instead of God as a solution to the problem, specifically here, Germany's fertility problem. What you're going to have is a lot of old Germans, sick and disabled Germans, and very few young Germans to take care of them. And there is no government solution to that problem. It's godlessness that's leading to the great European suicide. And only God can help Europe Europe needs God. But they have banished him from the continent, at least at last report. One more thing from this story. In a recent poll, 23% of German men said that zero was the ideal family size. Zero. I wonder if that includes themselves. I think it does. In the long, if you take the long view, eventually I think it includes even themselves. So zero.
Wow, that's depressing.
That's pretty depressing. This whole opening segment's been fairly depressing. Let's get to some good news. Well, and I don't. I'm not going to call this good news, but at least this doesn't make me want to weep. Reason number five that Edward Snowden should be droned. He should be drone-striked on the street in front of the Kremlin as soon as possible. Yeah. I got a story here from Reuters. Citing secret U.S. documents obtained by Edward Snowden, Der Spiegel newspaper said the files showed how the United States systematically bugged the United Nations and spied on other states and institutions. Yeah, that's right. In the summer of 2012, NSA experts succeeded, according to the documents leaked by Snowden, they succeeded in getting into the UN-video conferencing system and cracking its codes and downloading all kinds of data from the United Nations video feed. It's got to be like NPR. Talk about torture. Anyway, according to the documents, the NSA runs a bugging program in more than 80 embassies and consulates worldwide. Okay, so Edward Snowden, in his effort to save the world, and impress, I think he was trying to impress Julian Assange and his future girlfriend, Bradley Manning. I think he was trying to impress them. What he's done is he's basically leaked the fact, he's basically leaked all of our intelligence infrastructure to both our friends and our enemies. And for all of you who are our allies, and for those of you who say, well, we shouldn't be spying on our allies. Well, of course we spy. Those people are a bunch of foreigners. We don't trust those people. Of course, we want to maintain decent relations with them. But in the background, we want to find out if they're backstabbing us, if they're double-crossing us. The old trust but verify theorem from the Reagan administration. You don't trust you people, for crying out loud. Now, as for the surveillance state in America, I hope I've been clear in my position that I believe the government has the authority to have access to all the data at any given time. All the data and the information that's generated in public or via the electronic infrastructure, I think the government has a right to look at all of it, frankly. Now, but when that information is used for unjust purposes, then the people who are doing it should be removed from office and then punished for what they've done. And of course, you know that there is a solution to the surveillance state, and I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again because it warrants repeating, that if you could get justice taken care of, if there were justice, swift and sure, well, there wouldn't be a need for the surveillance state. People would obey the law either out of respect for reasonable law or out of fear of being punished. But we don't have that. We tolerate murder and mayhem and rape and child molesters. We tolerate all manner of crime. And so what does that leave us with? Well, we have to have a surveillance state because we're overrun with criminals who should have been punished, and they have not been. So there, I'll leave. And yes, I am calling for the drone strike on Snowden at the Kremlin. In that, you know, that big square in front of the Kremlin? If he's cruising through there in one of those old Russian cars, that's where we should drone the guy right there, take him out. All right, that's it from the treason file. That goes off. We'll go back to Russia for a little bit of sanity. Yes. So you know things are bad when you're going to Russia for sanity. We've reported here on Russia's law against homosexual propaganda. And it's not just homosexual propaganda, by the way. It's any kind of untraditional sexual anything. The Russians don't want you talking about that in front of the kids, which I've said here. Well, it's a step in the right direction. But their law against gay propaganda, as you well know, has provoked an international backlash. That's according to the Associated Press and everything that we've read in the past few weeks. And so now the pile of homos running the International Olympic Committee has received a letter from Russian Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Kozak. And the letter still leaves open the question of what would happen to Olympic athletes or fans if they make statements or gestures that could be considered propaganda. So the Russian Federation in the letter is basically guaranteeing their fulfillment of IOC obligations, not to discriminate against anyone, to treat everyone equally. And this letter basically from the Russian Deputy Prime Minister said, yes, we're going to apply this law evenly to everybody. And if you stand up and you promote unnatural, deviant, non-traditional sexual activity, well, you'll be arrested whether you're gay, straight, white, black, rich, poor, anybody, everybody, equal opportunity. They say it leaves open the question of what will happen if someone actually stands up and propagandizes for the homosexuals. I'm pretty sure what would happen. I'm pretty sure they'd be arrested right there on camera over there in Russia because, well, the one thing you can say about the Russians is when they say something, unlike the United States these days, you can believe that they mean it. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Glad to have you back after that non-commercial interruption. Now, we do allow musical interludes. Otherwise, my extremely attractive audio engineer would probably resign if she wasn't allowed. So that's what you get here. No sponsors, no annoying commercials, nothing to skip through or speed through. Well, I guess unless you don't like the music. Which I'm sure there's plenty of you out there who just can't stand it. But you know what? This is really all about us. That's what it's about. It's about us, okay? We're focused on us. We're trying to improve our own self-esteem around here. Yeah, at church this morning, it was kind of a depressing sermon. My pastor's given a sermon on how to be a Christian family. And the deeper he got into the sermon, the more I thought, it sounds like the first thing we have to do is leave this country. But then I realized there's nowhere to go. We can't build a Mayflower or rent a Mayflower and get the Queen of Spain to help us escape persecution. We're stuck with what we've got. There's nowhere to go except into the Pacific Ocean, I think. So we're pretty much stuck with what we've got, and we've got to continue to try to right this ship. We may move to northeastern Colorado. Have I clued you in on that, my dear?
No.
Well, they're trying to secede and become the 51st state. You don't want to go north? No. She's about as far north as she can stand right now. Anyway, they're thinking about seceding and forming the 51st state as a backlash against the potheads and queers in Denver. Yeah. And I'm all with them. Maybe we could try to annex our little part of Colorado into their state. I don't know. Anyway, let's go back to Russia from the war file. How did this make it into the war file? We're not at war with Russia. Oh, I see. This has to do with the war of the deviant perverts against normalcy. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed an executive order forbidding all protests during the Olympic Games at Sochi. See, I told you that they mean what they say. The article I just read earlier from the AP was asking the question, gee, we wonder what will happen if someone stands up with their rainbow flag and starts demonstrating in favor of gays. Well, here's what'll happen. The Russians will hit you with a stick and throw you in jail. Now, Putin says this is a preemptive measure to avoid any high-profile demonstrations during the Olympics. The ban on all protests covers a 10-week period that includes the time that the Olympic Games take place. That's the Winter Olympics there in Sochi, Russia. Where's this story from? This is from the Bleacher Report. This is from some sports website. See how we've all been drawn into this conversation about deviant sexuality? I mean, the Bleacher Report is usually where I go to get my latest Tim Tebow bashing news. Yeah, they're writing his epitaph, by the way, already. They're saying he's going to be cut from the team. He's probably going to be excommunicated, and he's going to be working in a laundry by the end of next week. There's a good chance. They're already writing Tim Tebow's out. Yeah. So that's what I usually get from the Bleacher Report daily. But now they're talking about the homos in Russia because, well, I mean, you just can't avoid this. It's everywhere. They're pouring out of the closet faster than we can beat them back with a baseball bat, figuratively speaking. let's see. So Vlad has taken the upper hand. Well, he's got the upper hand, as a matter of fact. But the Bleacher Report says that this is Russia's second crackdown to limit public demonstrations in as many years. You remember that the queers were going to march down the street in Russia right up to the Orthodox Church there? They had it all planned out. They had their rainbow flags and their banners and their leather chaps. And the Russians said, well, if you march to that church, we're going to thump you in the head with a stick and we're going to throw you in jail. And all the homos stayed home. Yeah, they had to call it off. I mean, they're dedicated, but apparently they're not that dedicated. So this is the second time. Putin's decree essentially suspends Article 31 of Russia's constitution, which guarantees the right to gather peacefully. Yeah, and you know, you can march, you can picket as long as it's peaceful. And, well, Vlad has suspended that because, let's face it, marching down the street advocating the destruction of the family and the end of Western civilization, or in this case, Eastern Orthodox civilization, is not peaceful. I'm sorry. That should not be construed as peaceful in any way. It is rhetorically violent, it is culturally violent, and it is vile on top of all that. What else does the Bleacher Report have in here? Surprisingly, they don't slam Tim Tebow in this particular article. The only article on the Bleacher Report in the past few weeks that has not said Tim Tebow's career is over. But they do report that the gay propaganda law there in Russia has led some in the U.S. to call for a boycott of the 2014 Games. Yes, the homosexuals, the activists, are calling for the United States to boycott the Olympics in 2014. So we'll see what happens. I think there's a better than even chance that Barry and his queer friends will boycott over this issue. And Vlad doesn't seem to be backing down. In fact, he seems to be raising the stakes. Every time there's a report that comes out in a liberal Western media appendage, Vladimir does something else to just freak him out and make him yell and scream and lisp even more. And I don't even like Vladimir Putin. He's starting to make me like him. That's what's scary. See how bad things have gotten? Well, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel when you're looking for moral leadership from an ex-KGB agent who poisons people who write negative articles about him. Is that how far down we've come? I mean, forget George Washington. So, I mean, we're down to Vladimir Putin. Tell me the end is not near, for crying out loud. All right, speaking of the end being near, the White House, according to the Washington Post, the White House will hold a closed-door roundtable to discuss bisexuals. Now, if you're going to discuss something like that, I wouldn't want it to be a closed-door affair. I think they should talk about a time when you need transparency, is when Barry and a whole pile of queers get in the White House, and who knows, they're going to defile that building. Close the doors, and who knows what's going on in there. I have a quote here from an LGBT liaison Yeah, that's someone who helps LGBT people talk to normal people. They have a liaison. Maybe that means he doesn't lisp all that badly so you can actually understand him without chuckling every time he stumbles over the letter S. No, but no, I don't think so. He said this LGBT, he's the White House LGBT liaison. Tell me the end is not near. The White House has one of those. That in and of itself is very disturbing. Anyway, the liaison says that the White House session will focus on issues of importance to the bisexual community. Can you just imagine what this is going to be about? Because, you know, if it's the male homosexual community, they're obviously going to talk about interior decorating, accessorizing. If it was just the lesbian community, they'd be talking about tattoos, overalls.
Overalls.
Don't they? Yeah, you see them get out of their Subarus at the grocery store with their overalls and their tattoos. Anyway, but this is for everybody. This is for bisexuals. So they're going to talk about tattoos, motorcycles, interior decorating, accessorizing, lipstick, earrings. Anyway, the liaison, the White House LGBT liaison, says his name is Gautam Raghavan. Gautam Raghavan. So I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Are you familiar with that name, my dear? Gautam. So we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. We're going to assume it's a boy. And he says, quote, participants and administration officials will discuss a range of topics, including health, HIV, AIDS, domestic and intimate partner violence, mental health, and bullying, unquote. That's from Gautam Raghavan, who probably pulls down six figures as the White House homosexual liaison. Try to communicate with the normal world. We need a liaison. Speak. Human Rights Campaign will be there. As you can well imagine, if there's a pile of homos anywhere, you can bet right up at the top is someone from the Human Rights Campaign. And they're evenly distributed down the pile and all the way to the bottom. Yeah. They're gonna meet in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, so they'll be defiling that building, not the White House, as I erroneously misinterpreted earlier. It's going to be a closed door. Well, they said the White House was doing it, so I assumed it was in the White House. So they say it's the White House, so they don't actually have to say that Barry's going to meet with all these homos. You know, because a lot of people suspect that, you know, Barry, he's a well-known sympathizer with that community. And, you know, there's rumors from the Chicago bathhouse scene from the 80s that we won't get into here. But for whatever that's worth, Barry's going to close the doors, meet with the queers. Let's see here. A Human Rights Campaign, they had a quote, I think, in this article. They said the fact that the Obama administration was holding an event focused solely on bisexuals underscores its grasp of LGBT Americans. I might have phrased it differently, that's all. The Washington Post, well, he's quoting the human rights guy. Human Rights Campaign says, Barry has a grasp on dykes. What does Human Rights Campaign have to say? President Obama and his administration have made clear their commitment to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues. And this event is further proof of their understanding of the needs of our community. Unquote.
Kind of snotty
with that list. Yeah. Well, they're all proud of themselves. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a story about queers or some queer coming out or some actor, some athlete. Who knows? Barry may come out before the end of his second term. He's a lame duck. He's got nothing to lose. In fact, it could actually bolster his future career to come out as a homosexual. And then, of course, Michelle would stand by him and she'd say, well, you know, I knew it all along. All right, that's enough conjecture. I don't want to imply to anyone that Barry Ho may be involved in anything deviant or disgusting or disreputable. So we'll just move on. Well, to one of these stories that you can't swing a dead cat without hitting. A judge in New Mexico has ordered Christians to work for homosexuals. That's right. They've ruled that the First Amendment does not protect the owners of a photography studio who refuse to take pictures of a lesbian wedding because they said, hey, we're Christians. We don't do lesbian weddings. Well, the Mexican Supreme Court says, oh, yes, you will. You will do this wedding. Yeah, in a case brought by a couple of lesbians against Elaine Photography down in Albuquerque, the lesbians wanted the photographer to document their, quote, wedding, unquote. And the studio declined. They said it would violate their Christian faith. Well, the lesbians took them to court, and here's what the Supreme Court of New Mexico said this. At its heart, this case teaches that at some point in our lives, all of us must compromise, if only a little. A little? A little? You're telling me I have to go to work for these homosexuals, and you say that's a little compromise? That's a pretty big compromise, Mr. Supreme Court Justice. What this really shows is that the justice officials there in New Mexico, and I would say nationwide, perhaps worldwide, except for Russia, have no idea of how deeply held the belief is amongst Christians that we must not contribute to lifestyle that destroys society. They have no idea. They think homosexuality is good. They can't understand why the Christians are upset about it. And they're saying you will work for them. You will basically be in servitude to them. Listen to what else the Supreme Court of New Mexico said. That compromise that they had just referenced, that compromise is part of the glue that holds us together as a nation. It is the price of citizenship. Yeah. So with the Supreme Court of New Mexico and governing and justice officials all over the country, there really is no compromise on their side. Because when it comes to the homosexuals and their right to dominate the civilization, the Supreme Court has only one thing to say. And that is that every knee shall bow. Going to have to take my extremely attractive audio to task for playing a bumper. I just did a story about a bunch of homosexuals, and in the midst of that bumper, I heard "Shake It, Boy." What's that all about? Did you do that on purpose?
No.
She just likes that guitar part. That's all. Completely unintentional.
I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. That's why you make the big bucks. You know what?
That's why I don't make any money.
That's why you're an unpaid intern here at the Weekly Worldview. All right, now we have more. I can't believe this just never ends. We have all been told that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that homosexuality is a superior lifestyle and that Christians must decrease while the homosexuals increase. We've been told that by the New Mexico Supreme Court. And we were told as much as that by the federal Supreme Court when they threw out the definition of marriage and when they said that in California that queers have the right to get married on the state capitol steps by the governor in front of God and everyone. And in fact, we have a story about that. I apologize, by the way, for all this news, my dear, but I'm sorry. I can't help it. The news is what it is, and it just gets worse from here. It just gets worse from here, okay? We're halfway through the show. And I'm here to tell you that it's all downhill from here. Nashville, Tennessee, from the Associated Press. Some churches are changing their bylaws to reflect their view that the Bible allows only marriage between one man and one woman. So this is a watershed moment, ladies and gentlemen. The lawyers and the homosexuals have the Christians so terrified that we're having to take our church charters and rewrite them to state that marriage is only between a man and a woman. That was something that never made it into the charter of the average Christian church before because, well, we thought that sort of went without saying. That's what we thought. But that's not true anymore. The churches are worried that they could be sued by homosexual couples. And this article from the Associated Press says that there have been lawsuits against wedding industry businesses that refuse to bow their knee to gay couples. Well, we just reported on one. There was one about a cake. I think there's been two cake outfits who've been sued successfully by homosexuals. Since when was a cake a public accommodation? And since when was hiring a photographer for your wedding considered engaging a public accommodation? I mean, I thought that when you hired a photographer for your wedding, that you had a private contract and that you paid them some sum of money to come and take pictures at your wedding. But the New Mexico Supreme Court says, nope, that's a public accommodation. If you bake cakes for weddings, you're now a public accommodation. You might as well be a bus driver, for crying out loud. Anyway, the churches are worried they might be sued by homosexuals. They're rightly concerned, in my opinion. There have been lawsuits, as we just said. Now, critics say these changes are unnecessary. That gay Christian leaders in particular, now that's a bit of an oxymoron. A gay Christian leader, please. Golly. But the AP reports that with a straight face. They say, hey, gay Christian leaders say that the traditional churches, they have nothing to worry about. We have a quote from a gay Christian leader, apparently. Let me see here. Well, it doesn't give his name, but we don't care anyways, because we don't want to give him any press, because we don't think there's any such thing as a gay Christian leader. I think he's just a gay leader. In fact, he's a homosexual leader is what he is, or it, or she, or whatever it is in this case. She says that these churches who think that marriage is between one and they seem to be under the impression that there's this huge movement with the goal of forcing them to perform ceremonies that violate their freedom of religion. That's from the executive director of the Gay Christian Network. His name is Justin. Listen, Justin, we're not under the impression that there's a huge movement to force us to marry off queers. We know there is. Go ask the baker and the photographer about this movement, and don't tell me we're under the impression of anything. We know what's going on. You people are going for the jugular. You know why? Because you're deviant, perverted killers. That's why. And in the end, you want to destroy yourselves and you want to take as many people with you as possible. We're not under any misguided impression, Mr. Secretary there at the Gay Christian Network. We know what's going on, at least those of us who are paying attention. And we know that you're coming for us, you're coming for our churches, and eventually your end goal is to come for our children. And there are a number of us who are not going to simply stand by and bow our knee. I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. What else does Mr. Justin have to say? He says, if anyone tried to force a church to perform a ceremony against their will, I would be the first person to stand up in that church's defense. Okay, that is traditionally what we would define as a lie. More specifically, a bald-faced lie right to your face. He's got the dagger behind his back as he says it. And he's just waiting to strike. You lying homosexual freak pervert who's hell-bent on destroying the church. We're going to have to draw the line, ladies and gentlemen. Although I don't know if we can draw the line anymore. I think the line's been obliterated. As a matter of fact, I think it was James Dobson who obliterated the line sometime in the early 90s when he said homosexuals should have equal rights but not special rights. At which point, my pastor and others, like-minded pastors, stood up and said, well, wait a minute, since when should criminals have equal rights? And, well, that argument did not win the day. And I wonder about that sometimes. My pastor this morning, for the first time in many, many Sundays, I found myself shaking my head and disagreeing with my own pastor, which I rarely do. But he talked about how a number of Christian leaders had approached James Dobson according to New Testament protocol in rebuking an elder of the church. And they went to him with respect and love and all this. And I just thought to myself, since when was James Dobson, who's really just a famous psychologist, who in an ancillary way somewhere is a Christian, but he's in no sense, in my mind, nor was he ever an elder or a leader in the church. He's just a famous psychologist who thinks that homos and Christians should find a way to get along. And I'm glad that those Christian leaders, after some soul-searching, did finally confront Mr. Dobson in public. But I think that the initial kindness and subtlety and following the protocol according to the New Testament, I think you only have to do that with actual leaders of the church, not famous psychologists who babble on about useless garbage and surrender the battlefield when the first shot is fired. I'd hardly call him a leader of anything. Anyway. So I disagreed with my pastor in church, but I held my tongue because my pastor is a leader in the church, and I defer to him on most things, but on that, I have to disagree. All right, now, where have I gotten here? I'm off track here. The homo just lied, and then, the AP reports that 13 states now recognize homosexual marriage. So there you have it, folks. The 13 colonies of the new American Revolution have formed. Yeah. Isn't this how we started? 13? Well, the new American Revolution consists of 13 states who shake their fist in the face of the Almighty God and say, we're going to do it our way. And so there. Let's see. The churches. Oh, the bylaw changes are coming at a time, according to the AP, when many churches are wrestling with gay marriage in general and are working hard to be more welcoming to gays and lesbians. So the way that sentence is constructed right there, that should tell anyone who's paying attention that we, as the overall body of Christ in America, we have been defeated by the homosexuals, at least in a temporal sense. Because it says that churches are wrestling with gay marriage, which means that just gay is, they're not even wrestling with gay anymore. Just wrestling with gay marriage. And as my pastor is wont to say, in the not too distant future, it'll only be gay dental care and gay rental car rates that we debate and argue over. Because the main battle has been lost. Churches are wrestling. And we know that churches are working hard to be more welcoming to gays and lesbians. And that's reported by the AP as if it just goes without saying. We know churches are trying to be more welcoming to gays and lesbians. What, are lesbians not happy? I mean, how come they always say gays and lesbians? Gays, what does gay imply? Someone's happy and having fun. There's gays and lesbians. Because generally, I mean, lesbians are pretty miserable people, I think. I think that goes without saying. But anyway, I've gotten off track again. I have a quote from Doug Anderson, who's a national coordinator for the Evangelical Vineyard Church. And he says, regarding homosexual marriages, he says, it's probably one of the most difficult issues our churches are facing right now. It's almost an impossible situation to reconcile what's going on in our culture and our whole theology of welcoming and loving people versus what it says in the Bible. That's Doug Anderson, coordinator for the Evangelical Vineyard Church. Mr. Anderson, you show yourself to be unqualified to be a Christian leader or probably even a Christian greeter. You probably not even qualified to vacuum the carpets of the church after the service because you fundamentally don't understand love. because you juxtapose loving people versus what it says in the Bible, which means you don't understand what love is. Love sometimes means going to your neighbor when he's doing something destructive, wicked, or corrupt, and telling him, yeah, that's wicked and corrupt and vile, and you must stop, you must repent. But he thinks that love is to be held versus what it says in the Bible. So, Mr. Anderson, you misunderstand love, and therefore you are unqualified for leadership in the church and probably for any service in the church. And you should resign your position in shame. And I don't know what you should do with yourself. I mean, you need to start at the bottom. You probably need to resign your position and go back to a church in the lowliest position of Sunday school, with the dunce cap in the corner, so that you can start anew and try to figure out what love means and realize that what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches is love. And it's you who misunderstand love. It's not the author of the scriptures. Feel like I'm watching it. It's driving me. My head's about to break. Insanity inside of me. It's like I'm wild. Feel like I'm falling. I'm hypnotized. These feelings can't be cased. This gravity is killing me. I can't stand it. Feel like I'm watching it. All right, folks, we're round the third. We're headed for home. This is a weekly worldview, a special Sunday edition. No, this is just the average Sunday edition, the regular Sunday edition. And we're glad that you're with us, and we're glad to be here. I've got one more story, okay? If you can just hang through one more. I know. But I think this story is a microcosm of America. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. The resignation of Bob Filner is upon us. Now, I have not followed this story because it's so disgusting that when you look at this guy, this mayor of San Diego, Bob Filner, and then you start to process some of the accusations that have been made against him, I mean, it makes your stomach turn. To think of being in the same room with that guy when some of that stuff happened, it's just too distasteful, so we haven't covered it. We were just hoping, like a bad rash, that Bob Filner would just go away if we just kept it covered. But Filner has made a deal. He's going to resign. And apparently the city of San Diego is going to get a new interim mayor. Well, the new interim mayor of San Diego is going to be student council president Todd Gloria. He will become acting mayor when Filner resigns. Did I say student council? I apologize. I meant city council president Todd Gloria is his name. And Todd Gloria is an open homosexual. And he's going to be the next mayor of San Diego. Oh, by the way, at least four of the potential candidates lining up to replace Filner are also open flaming homosexuals, including one Republican, just for good measure. San Francisco Chronicle writes, this is another significant milestone in the ascending political power of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. And, well, you can't argue with that, can you? And why is this a microcosm of America? Because what has happened in America, or what happened, I think, years ago, is that the immorality amongst the heterosexual community reached a level that was so gross and vile and disgusting that there was nowhere else to go on the pathway that leads to hell and destruction except for deviant, perverted homosexual open homosexuality and all that. So when the heterosexual community, or what I like to refer to as the normal community, becomes so vile and corrupt, well, it naturally follows that they would be superseded by an even more deviant and foul and vile and corrosive influence. And so the heterosexual community failed in our obligation to maintain moral standards. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that now the homosexuals are in their ascendancy. Or descendancy, as obviously the San Francisco Chronicle calls it an ascendancy. But I think it's a descendancy. A surrender to the forces of gravity pulling us all downward. I have a quote regarding San Diego from a professor of political science at the University of California, San Diego. Yeah, the professor says, "This is not your grandfather's San Diego," unquote. And truer words have rarely been spoken regarding America's finest city, formerly America's finest city, about to be led by one of six or seven homosexuals. Why? Because we can't find a normal person who isn't a thief or a liar or a corrupt or cheats on his wife or has a Filipino boy chained up in his basement. You just can't find them. And I know they're out there. I don't want to be too much of a pessimist. I know they're out there. But once again, I find myself feeling like the prophet. You know, Lord, am I all alone? And I know there's got to be thousands out there who haven't bowed the knee. We're just waiting for a turn of events that causes those people to be revealed. And when they are, we will follow them. We will follow the leadership that is normal and uncorrupted, if any such still exists. And I have to be confident that it must. I just haven't read about it lately. Okay? All right, now let's go to the personhood file. The first legal abortion has occurred in Ireland. It was carried out in Dublin last week. The termination was carried out on a woman who had an allegedly unviable 18-week pregnancy and whose life was allegedly at risk. The Guardian newspaper, which is run by another pile of deviants over in... And by the way, I'm for a drone strike on The Guardian as well. Yes, I said it. Edward Snowden, and then the queer and his boyfriend, and then The Guardian headquarters, if they don't stop it right now. All right. Yes, I think the government did have a right to detain the queer reporter's boyfriend because they're a bunch of spies. That's why. You know, it's been well known in the intelligence community for, I don't know, like 5,000 years, that homosexuals are generally unstable and they are a risk to intelligence assets. And the reporter who broke all of Snowden's downloaded files that he stole is a queer, and his boyfriend was detained. And I think he should have been detained. And I think and more than that should have been happened. I think he should have been arrested, and I think he should have been interrogated. And I think everything he owns should be expropriated by the government and searched, because a bunch of deviant, unstable, homosexual spies threatened to undermine the intelligence communities of the entire Western world. It's happening right in front of us, and the Republicans are cheering the queer freaks who are killing us all. Snowden's a hero. He's a patriot. Bunch of morons. Now, I need to go back. Ireland has had its first legal abortion. Allegedly, the pregnancy was unviable, which if that's the case, I don't know why they had to go in and kill the baby. Allegedly, the woman's life was at risk. And if her life was at risk, I could understand removing the baby. And I know that maybe we couldn't have kept the baby alive. I understand. I'm not naive. But to proactively murder the baby, well, this is a dark day in the history of Ireland. The Guardian reports that this particular abortion is the first legal one to be carried out since the passage of the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act. Yeah, that was passed by the Irish Parliament last month. You remember, we reported on it here. So this is a fine example of newspeak. If you go back and you read 1984, Orwell had a language where you could say one thing and everyone knew that it meant the exact opposite. So the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act in Ireland legalized the murder of innocent children. The Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act. We're living in an upside-down world, ladies and gentlemen. And it's very disconcerting to see what's happened to our Irish brethren. After Personhood forces put up a good fight over there in Ireland. We fought the good fight. But unfortunately, we find ourselves in the position of appealing to people's spirituality and their higher selves. Whereas the death culture, the homosexual culture, the drug culture, the hip-hop culture, all the cultures that are destroying us, they appeal to the base, selfish, fleshly interests of the people. So naturally, in the natural world, it can be expected that we would lose many, many battles against them because they have the advantage, the temporal advantage. But it's only a temporary temporal advantage because in the end, we win, our God wins, our God reigns. And that's what they really hate. And that's why I think they're suicidal. They're so filled with hatred of the fact that they cannot win, that they're willing to kill themselves just to prove a point. And they want to take as many of us with them as they can. And in Ireland, they took one young child's life, but they didn't take the baby with them. Listen to this. Under the new legislation, let me go through the legalistic gobbledygook first. Under the new Irish legislation, the hospital is required to provide the health minister with a registration number assigned by the medical council to the doctors who carried out the procedure. It also must state under which provision of the act the termination was carried out. And then finally, the health minister is required to publish an annual report, and then you can kill the baby, is how the law actually reads. All right, well, this baby will judge. The people who pass that law, they're going to stand in front of this person who they killed someday on Judgment Day. They're going to stand before this particular person. And this particular innocent person who was killed under the provisions of the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act will have the final word. Mark my words. All right, quickly, we're running out of time. I go to the justice system file. Janine Jones. Now, this is a name I remember from my childhood. Janine Jones was a nurse, and she was convicted of infanticide in the early mid-80s. I was living in Texas at the time. This woman was down in Houston. And this story shocked the state because this nurse, well, she was convicted of killing a particular baby, but there was wide suspicion that she had killed many, many, many children. Because an awful lot of children who had come in contact with this nurse had inexplicably perished. And this was a big story when I was a wee lad there in Texas. Now, she was sentenced to 99 years plus 60 years. Yeah, 99 plus 60. What is that? That's 159 years. She was scheduled. So the families were given some solace by the judge who said, well, at least she'll never see the light of day. We know she'll spend the rest of her life in prison and she'll have to think and ponder about what she did, and this is justice. Well, Jones is set to be released as early as May of 2018. It's already been 159 years, apparently. No, no, that's not it. We haven't been through a time warp. I mean, the world is freaky, but it's not that freaky yet. She's scheduled to be released because of a new law in Texas designed to prevent prison overcrowding. So there's some bureaucratic papers got signed, and prisons can't have this many and that many. And so, well, this lady who killed this baby and maybe killed others, and we know she hurt at least one other and tried to kill that baby. Well, we can't have the prison overcrowded, can we? So this is why I'd say every time I read these stories about a capital criminal who's sentenced to life plus 1,000 years plus 1,000,006 years, that doesn't mean anything because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. The only way you know that a capital criminal will not offend again is to remove him from the planet. That's the only way, because none of us know what's going to happen in the future. And so that's why God instructed the governing authorities to execute punishment swiftly, painfully, and surely upon those convicted. And so she's going to walk free. I can't believe this. I remember this on the news when I was in junior high school. I remember the whole story. Shocking. From the Observer, another United Kingdom rag. From the person who filed, BuzzFeed has come under fire after the viral site ran a post slamming Planned Parenthood. Yeah, the post was entitled Eight Outrageous Things Planned Parenthood Was Caught Doing, and it was submitted by the radical group Personhood USA. They're radicals. They think that no innocent people should be killed ever, which is just a radical, crazy, insane idea. These people are obviously insane. No innocent people ever? Isn't that a bit extreme? Well, Personhood USA posted it and apparently went viral because who wouldn't click on that? It's like their last, they did another BuzzFeed, 10 celebrities who came out as pro-life. That went viral as well. Anyway, the liberals over at BuzzFeed are freaking out. They don't know what to do. They can't believe that someone could publish a link to something true and factual and compelling, and that tens of thousands of people would download it, like it, forward it, post it, tweet it, all of that. Anyway, they say we're going to figure out whether we should draw lines about what's appropriate and what's not. Kudos to the folks over at Personhood USA for slipping one past the goalie over there at BuzzFeed. Imagine slipping the truth into the daily BuzzFeed grind. Imagine how hard it is to do that. Well, they figured out how to do it. Why? Because they're patriots. So when you start thinking, Lord, I'm by myself. What's going on? The whole world's gone insane. I'm alone. Well, go to BuzzFeed, download a Personhood USA post. There's somebody you can look up to and follow and know that not every knee has bowed. Okay? And that there still is a remnant out there serving the Lord. All right. From CNN, Spokane, Washington, police have arrested a 16-year-old boy, and they're looking for another in connection with the beating of an 88-year-old World War II veteran. The beating death. The other suspect has been named as a 16-year-old, another 16-year-old. Delbert Belton was beaten and left for dead by two teenagers outside a lounge in Spokane, Washington. The motive appears to be robbery. Belton took a bullet in the leg during the Battle of Okinawa, but he survived that. His cause of death was blunt facial and head injuries applied by two teenage boys in Spokane, Washington. And I know a lot of people are upset because they read these stories and they say, well, they're not mentioning that they were black. And I understand that we're all upset by the hypocrisy surrounding the Trayvon Martin coverage versus the coverage of the Australian baseball player, versus the coverage of this war hero, Shorty Belton. We're all, that hypocrisy, though, should be obvious to everyone. And I think the larger point is, what the hell is going on with teenage boys in America? I think that's a bigger issue than a black-on-white crime. You don't have to look very far to make the point about black-and-white crime. And if you wanted to make it, you could make it every day, 2-3 times a day. And you can make it about 50 times a day for black-on-black crime. So why don't we focus on the real issue, which is the destruction of the family, the removal of fathers from the lives of their children, and the destruction that ensues. And this is a fine example of that. And I think that's the point, I guess. I guess that's the only point I wanted to make. Fort Hood, Texas, from the Associated Press. After 6 hours of deliberations, a military jury last Friday convicted Major Nidal Hassan. Do we have to still call him Major? Convicted terrorist Nidal Hassan of the 2009 shooting rampage at Fort Hood. And the AP reports that he's now eligible for the death penalty. Let me tell you something, AP. What's that? Yeah, he's only eligible, according to the AP. Well, he's going to get the death penalty, okay? He's going to get it. I don't know if it'll be imposed upon him as a result of this trial, but he is going to get the death penalty. He's not only eligible, it's guaranteed, as a matter of fact. But there's a real good chance that this trial will not be the catalyst for that death penalty. Sentencing phase begins Monday. That'll just be a circus, just like this whole case has been. 6 hours. How did the jury deliberate for 6 hours? I can't understand that. I would have deliberated for less than 60 minutes. That Less than 60 minutes, I could have accepted. Over an hour, I'm thinking, what are you people thinking about? I mean, he stood up during the whole trial and said, I did it. I am the shooter. The evidence will show that I am the shooter. But still, they thought about it for 6 hours. I guess I shouldn't complain. I know. At least they found him guilty. The AP reports that 13 people were killed and more than 30 others were wounded. I want to remind the audience that one of the victims also lost her unborn child as a direct result of being shot by Mr. Hassan. And not unlike that Irish child, the Irish child who was murdered over there in Ireland, the first legal abortion. This unborn child from Fort Hood is going to face Nidal Hassan one day. He got to stand in front of his victims during the trial and mock them and ridicule them by actually being allowed to even speak in their presence. What an ungodly act. To allow him to even breathe in their presence is an ungodly injustice. But that will all be equalized on Judgment Day when the victims, including the unborn child who Mr. Hassan killed, they will enforce the death penalty on Mr. Hassan, God and the victims and this child. Mr. Hassan is not just eligible. He will get the death penalty. God will enforce that death penalty. And by the way, since we're almost to the end of the show, I would like to remind all of you that we are all collectively not only eligible for the death penalty, but we are living right now under the imminent sentence of death. And there is no way to avoid meeting your maker. There's no way to avoid leaving this mortal coil and meeting your maker. And on that day, you're going to find out that he is the creator, that he is almighty. And he's going to want to know, what did you say about my offer that I made to you when my son came to you humble and meek and offered you the opportunity to repent? What have you done with the name of my son, Jesus Christ? That will be the only thing on your mind on Judgment Day. That will be the only thing on the mind of the Almighty Creator who will hold your fate in his hand. Jesus Christ is real. You need to look into what he said about himself, who he said he was, and what he said he could do. And you need to decide, because you don't want to find yourself on that day having not taken a decision. All right. Now, on the heels of that mini sermon, can I report on Bradley Manning? It's kind of embarrassing. Bradley Manning intends to live out the remainder of his life as a woman. He wrote a letter to the Today Show stating, I am Chelsea Manning. I am female. I want to begin hormone therapy as soon as possible. I hope that you will support me in this transition. I guess he wrote that to the host there at Today Show. What's his name? Matt Lauer. Well, don't worry, Bradley. Matt will support you in your transition. He signed the letter Chelsea E. Manning. The Army responded saying, this is ridiculous. Listen to this. Here's the Army's response. Inmates in the United States Disciplinary Barracks at Joint Regional Correctional Facility are treated equally regardless of race, rank, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. All inmates are considered soldiers and are treated as such with access to mental health professionals, including a psychiatrist, psychologist, social worker, and behavioral science non-commissioned officer with experience in addressing the needs of military personnel in pre- and post-trial confinement. The Army does not provide hormone therapy or sex reassignment surgery for gender identity. You know what else the Army doesn't provide? Wasn't included in that list? No chaplain, no priest, no rabbi. So God's been completely eliminated from the calculus in our military. He's gone. He has left the building when it comes to the military. So Bradley Manning is condemned to continue his spiral into mental illness and eventual death at the hands of the government that he betrayed. And I actually feel sorry for the little punk in one respect, but also I think it should be put to death. That's it for this week. I'll be back with you next week, should the Lord tarry. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.